To turn to the word of the Lord, he my comfort. He said he would be my guide. I've been baptized in Jesus' name, spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came. Ever since that wonderful day, my soul's been satisfied. You could play that softly. I want to turn your attention today. I won't be long. I know. I stand between you and that beef Manhattan downstairs, and I don't want to end up in more trouble than I can handle. So if you'll turn quickly with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, stand with me as we read the word of the Lord, as it is customary in this place to honor God's word. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, I'd like to turn your attention to the 7th verse. I understand today is Pastor Appreciation Day. I'm thankful for the kind words, accolades that we have received today. There's a lot of people who deserve thanks in this place. A lot of people that do things that people don't see. I'd like to give honor today to Brother Carl, amen, as youth pastor of this place. Amen, for all of his labor and love. I'd like to give honor today to our musicians who come in here and play with such a passion to glorify God. Our worship team, as they lift their voice in praise unto the Lord, I give them honor today. Those that clean the church, drive the bus, do outreach, speak to lost souls and talk them to come into church, global missions, whatever you do, amen, we give you honor in this place today, and we give the Lord thanks and praise for you and for your labor and love. It will not go unrewarded. God is a rewarder to those that diligently seek Him. And there are many people that do so much. Amen. Thanks to our secretary and treasurer, amen, who stresses herself out all the time about the finances in this place. We give the Lord honor for her today. Amen. Thank you all for being such a wonderful people to pastor. Amen. And I believe the Lord has blessed us with a good church. I believe the Lord has blessed us with a good church. Brother Nathan does an interpretation and signing. Our sign team doing signing, we give you all honor. Amen. If I forgot anyone at all, please forgive me. We do thank the Lord for you. But I quickly would like to turn your attention to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse. Say amen when you get there. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7, the word of the Lord. We're reading here the teachings of the Apostle Paul. And he says unto the Corinthian church, but we have this treasure. Everybody say treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's us, the church, the people, the body. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power. That word excellency there means beyond measure. The power that is beyond measure may be of God and not of us. The Lord has given us this treasure in our earthen vessels, that the power that is beyond measure may be of God and not of us. Then he goes on to tell them how this is going to be accomplished. He said, we are troubled on every side. How many can relate to that today? He's telling this church, he says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are persecuted. Pursued, that word in Greek means pursued. We are persecuted and pursued but we are not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. And then he completes this passage of Scripture by saying, we are always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. I want to read that one more time today. We are always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. I want to preach to you just a few moments today, heavenly treasures in earthen vessels. Heavenly treasures in earthen vessels. Lay your Bible down in your seat. Let's lift up a hand clap of praise and offering unto the Lord. If you're thankful for what you felt in this place, if you're thankful for where God has taken you to, come on, you might not be where you're going, but you sure ain't where you've been. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise as we enter into His Word today. He's worthy and we love Him today. We appreciate His goodness and His mercy. Lord bless you. You may be seated for just a few moments. I want to talk to you today. Amen. What a wonderful presence of God in this place today. Amen. I'm thankful. I'm honored. I'm rejoicing in my soul. It's always a good day. Let me tell you something. There never should be a time when we walk through the doors of the church and don't feel the presence of God. I don't care if the preacher is doing the best job or if he's doing the worst job. If you come hungry for God, that's what Levi was talking about a while ago. When you come hungry for God, when you make up in your mind that as the heart in the Bible, H-A-R-T is the deer. As the deer panteth for the water brook, so doth my soul long for you, Jesus. Let me tell you something. When you make up in your mind, I've been in some services where people couldn't get nothing going to save their life, but the Lord spoke so clearly to me. Amen. I've made up in my mind, I never want to come in the doors of the church and not feel the presence of God in this place. Amen. I understand today, and you know as well that life is often more complex than it is clear. And life sometimes is more confusing than it is clear. And sometimes we feel as though we're turning around in circles. And I realize today that it takes the Word of God. It takes the Holy Ghost, which is our comforter, the Bible says, to lead us and guide us into all truth and righteousness. Amen. And life sometimes can be so confusing, and things are not always as though they seem. And sometimes you think you might be headed in a certain direction, Sister Crystal, but all of a sudden, everything's turned upside down and you realize that you're not headed in that direction at all. Because sometimes life can be very complex. But the Bible says this is a simple plan of salvation. How many know that the Lord didn't come to make your life harder? When you put your life in His hands and your problems become His problems, your life gets a whole lot easier. Come on, some people say, well, I just can't get away from the person that I used to be. Let me tell you something. If you choose to take the hard road, your life's going to get easier. If you make the hard decisions on the front end and say, you know what? I know it's going to be hard to quit doing this. And I know it's going to be hard to quit doing that. But I'm willing to do it right now on the front end so I can receive my direction from the Lord. If you'll make your decisions and if you'll make your hard decisions on the front end, your life will get much easier. But if you take the easy road, your life's going to get much harder. It is a simple plan of salvation. We simply must learn to do what God tells us to do. Amen. And when we do that, the complexity seems to fade. Come on, the cloudiness, the confusion begins to dissipate, and all of a sudden there is a clarity in what we're looking at. There is a clarity in life, amen, that only comes through Christ Jesus. Amen. And sometimes we make things so difficult and so hard when the answer is always simply right before us. The answer is always in Jesus. Regardless of what your circumstance, regardless of what your problem, regardless of what you're going through, your answer is in Jesus today. Amen. And He is the one that takes away the complexity of life. Amen. And causes us to enjoy our walk with God. I pray today that I can clearly communicate, that I can clearly articulate what God has given me today for this body. Amen. I want some people to get a hold of some things that will bring about change. I want some people to get a hold of some things that will take away the cloudiness. I want some people to get a hold of some things that will take away the complexity and cause you to see that if you just keep your eyes up on the Lord, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow's going to take care of itself. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing today to not have to worry about tomorrow? Let me tell you something. When you put your life in Jesus' hands, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's already taken care of. Amen. Tomorrow's already taken care of. Amen. And I pray today that the Lord would allow me to clearly communicate what he wants to say to this body today. A treasure is an abundance. How many of you have seen those old pirate ship movies where they find those treasures of gold and there's all those big piles this high of gold and all that stuff? Yeah. That's not a treasure. That's not a treasure. A treasure is an abundance that is laid up for your future. That's what a treasure is. And let me tell you something. On the very front end of what the Apostle Paul was saying to this church that is in Corinth, on the very front end, before he ever went into how all of these things would be accomplished, before he ever said a word about the things that they were go through, on the very front end, he lets them know your tomorrow is already taken care of. Come on, he said, we have this heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels, that the power that is beyond measure, the power that we cannot comprehend, may be of God and not of us. And then he goes on to tell them that all of these things are going to come to pass. Come on, I know it's not a fun thing today to hear that you're going to be persecuted. But it's a wonderful thing to hear on the back end that you won't be destroyed. It's not a fun thing to say you're going to be pursued. People's going to try to destroy you. It's not a fun thing today to say you're going to be afflicted. There's going to be things that afflict you in your flesh and you're going to have a hard time getting through them. But it's a wonderful thing on the back end to talk about the life of Jesus Christ and say, but your tomorrow's already taken care of. Woo! Come on! Give that hand clap of praise unto the Lord today. Amen. He goes on and he tells them all of these things that they're going to endure. Amen. But on the front end, he tells them about a heavenly treasure that the Lord has already laid up for us. And that treasure is the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just part of it. Not just the death, Brother Brad. Not just the burial. Not just the resurrection, Levi, but the life of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, and the resurrection and the life of Jesus Christ are the whole gospel today. This gospel is to us, those that love the Lord, a treasure, a heavenly treasure that is laid up in earthen vessels. Amen. That shows us tomorrow's going to be just fine if we put our trust in Jesus. Regardless of what tomorrow may bring, regardless of what people may say about you, regardless of if people try to destroy you, regardless of if your flesh is weak, the Spirit of God is always willing. The Spirit of God is always willing. Your treasure is an abundance that is stored up for you. Amen. Stored up for you for the supply of your future. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a treasure to those that love the Lord today. It is a hope for tomorrow. It is a blessed assurance that regardless of what life throws our way, everything's going to be all right. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the whole gospel. Amen. The whole gospel is a treasure to us today. Now the apostle here is telling the church exactly what it will go through. You are not at home on your couch or in your lazy boy watching some TV evangelist, prosperity preacher that's going to tell you that you're never going to have a problem again. Come on, you're in the house of God where the Word of God teaches us that we can't only take part in the life of Jesus Christ, but we also got to take part in the death of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's how the apostle closed out this passage of Scripture. He said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he was saying? Don't think for one second that you're not going to have problems. Don't think for one second that people's not going to come against you. Don't think for one second that your flesh is not going to fail you sometimes, and you're not going to make some mistakes sometimes, and you're not going to have to go back and repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry, let me do my first works over. Forgive me for what I've done that was wrong. This is not a prosperity preacher's church today. This is the gospel, the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes we're going to go through some stuff. And that's why Paul said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But he didn't stop there. He went on and he said, you go through that in life so that the life and the resurrection of Jesus Christ might also be made manifest in the body. When I was praying for Sister Donna a while ago, I don't know why, but I just felt led. When I put my hands on her head, I said, Lord, let the end result of this test be a testimony. Come on. Let me tell you something. You're never going to have a testimony without a test first. And you're never going to get to life without death first. And you're never going to hold. What's the Bible say? He that will hold on to his life is going to lose it. But he that layeth down his life for the gospel's sake is going to find it. Come on, you got to first be partakers with him in his suffering. Amen. You know what that means? That means you're going to go through some stuff. That means without a test, there's never going to be a testimony. That means without a problem, you're never going to have a victory. Without a war, there's never a victory. Come on, if you always got peace and prosperity, there's no need for victory. But sometimes you got to go through a war to get to your victory. And you got to go through the death and the burial. That's why we're buried with him in baptism. Come on, this morning after church, a young lady who's been coming to church here for 2 or 3 weeks now, she come up to me and she says, can I ask you a question? I said, absolutely, you can ask me anything that you'd like. And she says, when we get saved, are we always saved? I said, well, listen to me. I need you to listen to me for just a second. I said, this is not a Baptist church and we do not teach Baptist theology. This is an apostolic church, and we do not believe that because you are converted, you will always be converted. I said, but when you repent of your sins and you're baptized in Jesus' name and the Lord fills you with the Holy Ghost, I said, from that point forward, I said, it's up to you whether you're going to walk with God or not. I said, and the Bible tells us and the Bible teaches us that he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Listen to me today. Just because you came to church one day and you came to the altar and you fell down and you prayed and you asked God to forgive you, don't mean you're going to go to heaven. Come on, but the Bible says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. The Bible also says that we can live it all the way up to the end and still be a castaway. Can I tell you today, the Bible says that even now doeth baptism save us. Come on, we need to be renewed over and over and over again in the Holy Ghost. We need every time we walk through the doors of the house of God to be seeking God to restore us again and to make us whole again. Amen. And she went on to say, she said, well, I said, do you understand that? She said, I do understand that. She said, so when I'm ready, will you baptize me? I said, yes, ma'am, we will. We will baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we'll expect the Lord to fill you with the Holy Ghost and fire like the Bible says. Hallelujah. Amen. We come into this house today to continue our relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. If you try to live a life in Christ to where you think you're only going to partake in the life of Jesus Christ, when you go out into the world and live in this false world that you've created, you're going to find out that life's going to be very hard on you. But when you understand that you got to accept the whole gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the life of Jesus Christ, you'll understand that sometimes you got to go through things which causes you to share in his suffering in order to get to the resurrection. He first had to die. And let me tell you something, for God can be manifest in your life, you first have to suffer with him in death. Come on. You first have to suffer with him in death. Now, we have to take part in the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's why Paul said, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. But he didn't stop there. He went on to say, so that the life of Jesus could be made manifest in our mortal bodies. So we go through the problems so we can get to the victory. We go through the test so we can get to the testimony. Amen. So we take part in the death so we can get to the resurrection. All right? Now, Paul said we are troubled on every side. Let me tell you something. When you're troubled on every side, you're taking part in his death. All right? Yet not distressed. Now you're taking part in his life. He said, we are perplexed. You're taking part in his death. But he said, but we're not in despair. You're taking part in his life. Come on, he said, we're persecuted or we're pursued. You're taking part in his death. He said, but we're not forsaken. You're taking part in his resurrection and in his life. He said, we're cast down. You're taking part in his death. But he said, we're not destroyed. You're taking part in his life. I came to tell somebody today, in order to get to the life of Jesus Christ, you got to be a partaker of his death. And it's not always going to be easy keeping your eyes upon Jesus. Amen. I'm sure that everybody that's under the sound of my voice, maybe there's a difference in where you're at in your life. Some of you might be in the deepest trial that you have ever encountered. Maybe you're in the darkest valley that you've ever been through. Let me tell you something. You've got to go through that valley for that hill on the other side to be a mountain. And you got to go over that mountain for there to be a valley. All right? You got to go through the death of Jesus Christ to get to the life of Jesus Christ. We got to be partakers in the whole gospel. And when you stop trying to take part in just part of the gospel, this is why the writers of the Old Testament said, eat the whole loaf. Eat the whole loaf, okay? In other words, don't just try to pick and choose what you think is good out of the Word of God. You got to take it all. Come on, who wouldn't want the prosperity? Who wouldn't want the life? Who wouldn't want the story of resurrection? But nobody wants to have part of the death. You got to go through a test before there could ever be a testimony. I come to tell you today, before you can ever get to the life of Jesus Christ, you first got to go through His death. Church, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He has the answer to your circumstance today. But you got to take the whole gospel. You can't take the part that feels good and leave out the part that is sometimes bitter. Come on, this is why the Bible talks about that bitterness will become sweet as honey. Come on, there were things in the oil of the Apocrypha. Come on, there are things that make up true worship unto the Lord. There are things that make up a true child of God. And part of that is it's not all the good, but sometimes you got to go through the struggles as well. Sometimes you got to go through the problems as well. Amen. For us to fully understand this passage of Scripture, we must understand the man who wrote it. And that's the Apostle Paul. We're not talking about a man today that did not know what he was talking about. We're not talking about a man today that had never been through nothing but wants you to stick strong through everything. We're talking about a man that had been to hell and back. We're talking about a man that had suffered more than they all did, but he held on to the hand of Jesus Christ. Amen. He had been there and he had done it. He had lived through it. He had suffered it. He wasn't just saying something because it sounded good to say. He was saying it from experience today. And I promise you, if you find somebody who's walked in this way for 50 years, they're going to tell you there was times that I barely hang on. There was times that I didn't know if I was going to make it. But the Lord never failed me. And the Lord never left me. And every time I went through His suffering and His death with Him, His life and His resurrection always came about. Come on. Sometimes you got to go through your test to get to your testimony. The Apostle Paul had lived a life outside of the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. You remember before he was converted, he carried the name of Saul. But after he was converted, the Lord called him Paul. Amen. We're talking about a man that persecuted the church of God. And because of this, he considered himself to be the least of all of the apostles. He knew what it was like to suffer. He knew what it was like to do without. He knew what it was like to go through things for the gospel's sake. And sometimes you're going to have to go through things for the gospel's sake because you cannot just be a part of the life of Jesus Christ and not share with Him in His death. It will not happen. It cannot happen. It is not the whole gospel. It is not the treasure that the Lord has given us in these earthen vessels. We're talking about this treasure that's laid up for us today. The Apostle Paul considered himself to be the least of the apostles, even though he had labored more, the Bible says, than they all did. Come on, he had lived a life outside of the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. And he was very appreciative of the Lord being in his life. Paul had the ability to be used mightily by God and still remain humble. Paul had the ability to go through the most difficult of circumstances and never turn coat on his faith. Amen. He knew what it was like to live a life in Christ Jesus. Paul was imprisoned as an evildoer. He understood that taking part in the death of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he wrote to Timothy and he said, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. He didn't say some of you. He didn't say a couple of you. He said all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You're going to have some hard times. You're going to go through some tough times. You got to share with him. You got to be buried with him. You got to be buried with him. You got to take part of his suffering in order to get to his resurrection. All who suffer, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Five times the Jews put stripes upon the Apostle Paul. Three times he was beaten with a rod by the Romans. That was the difference in the tactics of scourging. The Jews put stripes upon them with a whip. The Romans beat them with a cane. Five times he took stripes from the Jews. Three times he took a beating from the Romans, but they couldn't silence him. They could not silence him. Listen to me. We ought to be ashamed sometimes when things come against us and it don't take much to silence us because of our faith. The Apostle Paul went through all of these things and it could not silence him. He was stoned. He was left for dead, but God had a work for him to do. He was imprisoned many times. He was shipwrecked many times. Amen. Church, in this life, the Apostle Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Let me tell you something. You're not here today because you think because you come to church that the Lord's going to open the windows of heaven and give you $1 million. You're here today because you realize there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. You're here today because you realize that without Him you have no hope of making it to heaven. You're here today because you're afraid and you don't want to go to that awful place called hell. Amen. As the musicians come quickly. If in this life we have hope only in Christ Jesus, we are of all men most miserable. Church, our hope in Christ is eternal. We're here today because we're preparing ourselves for the life which is to come. We're here today because we want to shun that awful place called hell. Stand with me all over this house today. I'm talking to you today about heavenly treasures in earthen vessels. The whole gospel of Jesus Christ is a heavenly treasure to those that are in God. You cannot take part of the gospel and leave the rest. You cannot enjoy the benefits of a life in Christ and not take part in the sufferings that are associated with it. You must take the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of a time when the Apostle Paul was captured and he was released on the island of Melita. And the Bible says that the people there showed him and the people that were with him no little kindness. They were very kind to him. And the people that were with him. And Paul said that they invited him to come and take part of a fire that they had built. And Paul went over and he gathered up some sticks to stick on the fire. And when he went over to the fire to put the brush on the fire, the Bible says that a viper came out of the fire and latched on to the hand of the Apostle Paul. Let me tell you something today, folks. It's when you're in the midst of the fire that you better beware of the serpent. It's when you're stranded. It's when you're desolate. It's when you're hurting. It's when you think you have no way out of the circumstance that you're in. That's when you better beware of the enemy. Let me tell you something. Those folks that were kind to him when he was stranded on that island, the Bible says that when he reached down to throw that brush in the fire and that viper come up and locked on him, the Bible says that it had a hold of him. And he took it and he shook it off in the fire. And the Bible says they began to murmur amongst themselves. And they said, "This man must be a murderer. This man deserved what he had coming. He must have done something awfully bad." Let me tell you something. Just because people are kind to you in the beginning don't mean they're going to be there when things get hot. Just because you think people love you, just because they show you a little bit of kindness. Let me tell you something. You better get you some friends, some brothers and sisters in Christ that are rooted and grounded in the Word of God and want to see you have a way of escape. Hallelujah. That you better get some folks in your life that want to see you make it to heaven, that won't run off when things get hot. The Bible says Paul reached down to throw that brush up on that fire, and that viper came up and locked on. They began to say, well, he must be a murderer. You know what? They didn't even know it, but he was a murderer. They didn't know it, but he was a sinner. They didn't know it, but he did deserve that kind of death. But he had Jesus. Come on, but he had the Holy Ghost. Come on, he had the fire burning on the inside. It didn't matter how hot things got on the outside. It didn't matter how great the attack was from the enemy. Paul had what he needed to shake it off in the fire. Come on. Come on, I'm talking to somebody today. You have this heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. The Lord has given us this glorious gospel. But so many times we try to pick and choose. And we say, well, I want this because it feels good. I want Sunday because it feels good. Things are exciting, but I don't want to take part in Bible study on Tuesday. Come on. Come on. Well, I want to be there when people's getting baptized, but I don't want to go support somebody when they have a funeral. Come on, let me tell you something today, folks. You don't get to pick and choose what part of the gospel you want to be a part of today. I'm talking about this heavenly treasure that he has given us is the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, we are always bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? So that we might make the life and the resurrection of Jesus Christ manifest in our lives. You go through things in this life so the glory of God can be revealed in you. So the next time you're in your deepest trial, the next time you're having the heaviest burden, the next time your trouble seems so great that you don't think you can handle it all, just look out over that horizon and realize, man, I'm taking part with him right now in his death. But my God, his life is on the way. Come on, he's going to be resurrected. It might be Friday right now, but Sunday's on the way. Right now, I'm taking part of his death, but his life is on the way. Come on, we got to take part of the whole gospel of Jesus Christ today. We can't pick and choose. We got to eat the whole loaf today. We are missing out on our blessings. We are missing out on the glory of God being revealed in our lives because we want to pick and choose what part of Jesus we want to accept. But I come to tell somebody in this house today, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the heavenly treasure that he has given us in earthen vessels, the treasure that is laid up for our future is not just part of the gospel, it's the whole gospel. It's the whole gospel. What's the Bible say? They that suffer with him are going to reign with him also. It didn't say you're going to reign with him and never suffer with him. No, it said you're going to suffer with him and then you're going to reign with him. The death, the burial, the resurrection, the life of Jesus Christ is the whole gospel. It's the whole gospel. It's our treasure in earthen vessels that God has given unto us as his body. And we are always bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ that his life might be made manifest in us. I wonder if there's anybody under the sound of my voice today. These altars are always open. But right now I am extending unto you a formal offer to come up here right now. If you're in this house, and if you say to this point, I have not realized that in order to reign with Him, I have to suffer with Him. This helps me understand my problems. This helps me understand my trials. This helps me realize that I have to go through tribulations so the glory of God can be revealed in me. I have to take the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. I can't pick and choose what I want today. I got to eat the whole loaf. Come on, we want more of Him today. And if you want more of Him today, you got to take all of Him. It's all or none. You're either going to be hot or you're going to be cold. Come on, He said, if you be lukewarm, He's going to spew you out of His mouth. Come on, you got to choose you this day who you're going to serve. Come on, the Lord wants to deliver somebody in this house today. The Lord wants to open up somebody's understanding today and say, you got to take the whole gospel of Jesus Christ, and then will the glory of God be manifest in your life today. Come on, you're not alone. Come on, these altars are open. We're going to sing this song unto the Lord today. Would you come? Would you come and say, Lord, I don't want to pick and choose anymore. Whatever you have for me.